Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Friday, March 26, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. If you're curious why I'm hesitating sometimes in the beginning, it's because of a delay between this platform I'm using, and so I hate to cut myself off early on in the show. But two main topics today, but three very important things we're going to go over. Something that has been kind of a recurring discussion, this point not recurring, but this idea that every action that's being taken, the tests, the masks, the things that they're all leading to more disease, more illness, more problems, whether that's, you know, just an accident or not, right? They always want to be incompetent rather than criminal. This is always something we're pointing out. Regardless of how you see this of intention, the point is all of these things have been shown to be leading to pretty alarming problems, with masks being a big one for me, as you guys know, showing that beyond a shadow of a doubt, these things are increasing your risk of illness. This is, and I'm actually going to do a show probably tomorrow, but one of these next ones going over one specific doctor, a medical doctor, who is just nailing this down and showing you and admitting the things that many of them are afraid to admit, such as the fact that no one before COVID-19 came around, they've never even once heard the idea, even floated, suggested that these masks were even close to intended to limit transmission of viruses. That's never been what this is about. And that's what's very frustrating. And this today we're talking about the PCR test, but the swab that's being used on that test and how those swabs were treated and what that ultimately means. And you'll find out as we go through this today and discover that there's treated with something that is in fact a carcinogen, something that has been shown to be very damaging. But there's more on the story because some are, as usual, jumping a little too far forward and saying, well, there you go, it's over. But the truth is, it's not as absolute as many want to make it out to be, but it is damaging. It's alarming. And I'll show you why. And even more so, a point that most of these other parts outlets aren't picking up on, that this has the effect of the fact that it can continue to build up in your body. This is something we've talked about with glyphosate. They always talk about the idea of how, the small amount that's there, it's just not damaging enough. So it's acceptable. Except the fact that glyphosate is now in your clothes and your water and the air, and it does collect and build up in your body. So have we ever done a study about how that level in your body builds up and if that could be damaging? Of course we haven't. Then we probably never will, because that would show that what they're doing is really, really bad for us. So too at this point. And we'll get to that and we get into the show today. But we're also going to talk about vaccines again and a really alarming specific doctor who made a warning about the one of the dangers of the vaccines in regard to antibody dependent enhancement. And this is something we keep pointing out, that there has been an endless string of doctors and physicians and scientists and all sorts of people of all walks of life screaming about things they know or at least concerned about may be happening with these vaccines, and many of them before this ever happened, reaching out like James Lyons-Weiler, a PhD, and saying, I'm concerned about these unsafe epitopes or the polyethylene glycol, and saying that this is a problem and we see this coming. And no one did anything about it. And that's one of the things we're going to get into today again and follow up on how that reflects on AstraZeneca and a lot of other things. And finally, the Bill Gates discussion, which is another one that is being misrepresented in a very alarming way. Not that it's not true, but in ways that make the real discussion, which I'm going to have about this, dismissed as conspiracy theory. So we're going to go through this discussion of flying vaccinators, mosquitoes, GM mosquitoes, which, if you know, we've been following and writing about and covering on T-Lab for a really long time, long before COVID-19, and as well as the other things that those are used for and the theories around that whole topic. But this is an alarming discussion to understand who funded this research and what it could mean, and then we'll show you what's actually happening and leave it there for you to do your own due diligence. So to begin, as we have been doing lately, I want to go over a few topics just to get these out there for people to see, which as usual tend to relate to the larger discussion anyway. But this one just had to be noticed. Most everybody zeroed in on this and said, oh, look, Biden's senile. He doesn't know who he's talking to. And yes, this is the couched surface level point that they want everyone to think about every time. Oh, look at Biden. He can't speak, instead of murdering people in Yemen. You know, that's how this tends to go. And this is what a lot of the even independent media fall into that trap, because you know what? It gets you clicks. It gets views. People love to laugh at the person on the other side, or however that goes. And this is why we're failing, because we're stuck in the two-party paradigm hamster wheel. Even independent media will lean into that. And that's a problem. But in this case, what do we need to realize? If you are on the podcast, new Biden photos at his press conference, cheat sheet has a picture of each reporter on it, their name, and in fact, who to call on in numerical order. So my point was, I said, you see, guys, it's all political theater. If he has a predetermined order, this is not real. Support your independent media. And we know this. I mean, this is the fact that this is cultivated, controlled, very carefully controlled, is not a secret. Of course, they would never admit that because they're, you know, let alone, of course, the media would never admit that because they're so high on their own opinion of themselves. But the reality is it's cultivated. They know what they're not supposed to ask. They know what they'll get from them if they do. And of course, we know, especially we saw it with Trump, where he began to pick on the specific outlets that he wanted. This is not how this is supposed to go, but that's because we don't have an actual, in their case, independent media, right? This is media that's controlled. That's the real point to take away. So again, support your independent media. It doesn't have to be me, just people out there that are challenging the system, the narrative, and really offering you full, you know, the broad scope of information for you to research for yourself. Now, in regard to Julian Assange, which we haven't been talking about a lot lately, and that's, you know, we can only do much, but I absolutely call that a failing on my part because this is a absolutely paramount. This is one of the most important stories around because of how much this relates to. And again, for those that want to ask the logical question of whether you think this whole thing was a psyop or he's not real, that's a good, valid question. But at this point, as I keep saying, doesn't matter anymore because the entity, the idea of this is being used regardless, whether or not this was all a fake idea or he's a shill or however you want to think about it, it's still leading to what? To using this situation against people like us. So in any case, we should be fighting against this. Just for the record, I don't believe that at all. Based on everything we've seen, I'm quite confident this person is a political prisoner. Julian Assange won the extradition case against the United States on January 4th. First of all, if you didn't know that, ask why. Yeah, I think it's obvious. The media doesn't care to inform you about anything they don't want you to know about. He's not charged in the UK, so we understand that. But he's still in prison. So he won a case about in regard to extradition from the United States, even though he's not a U.S. citizen. He didn't commit crimes in the United States. And, you know, this is clearly showing you the power that they do hold and they think they hold, even though they shouldn't, in regard to any government. But he's not charged in the UK, but he's still in prison in the UK. There's nothing holding him there other than the idea that they want to keep trying things until they get something. April 11th will mark 2 years of incarceration for doing his job. Courageous journalism exposing state crimes. Still there. If we need any indicator, if there's one thing that shows you what's really happening today, it should be this. This person, or rather just the concept that we can prove that the government committed crimes, really, really serious crimes. And we all admit that. We all know that. Nobody, not a single person was even investigated for those crimes. Yet every single person who was involved in showing us that those crimes were committed have either been arrested, attacked, taken out, on and on and on. And we see Julian Assange here suffering those consequences for doing his job. Had a great interview today on Tim Truth channel. I recommend you check it out. It was about a 30-40 minute discussion about quite a few things. And I really thought it was a good conversation. So just want to give a quick shout out to that for you guys to check out on Odyssey as well. Bringing this back to Biden's administration before we go into what's happening from that and going on with COVID-19, Sarah Abdallah points out breaking, right? And remember Robert's recent article about how Biden's going to end the war in Yemen, and he's doing all the things we knew, just like the Trump supporters were adamant about Trump was following every promise, even though he was really flagrantly not even coming close. The same thing's happening with Biden. Oh, Biden's already a success forever because they want that to be the case if you're still stuck in the two-party illusion. The reality is they're both the same person, saying different things, achieving the same goals in slightly different ways for the same unelected power structure. Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are bombing Yemen's Sana'a International Airport right now. This was on the 22nd, of course, marking the third straight day of attacks on the UN capital. Of course, that's a war crime. Of course, that's the worst humanitarian crisis on the planet today. And of course, they're starving more so than anywhere else on the planet. And of course, we're okay with murdering and bombing their infrastructure and their food and their water, because that's what good freedom fighting countries do, right? And it's, of course, 100% backed by the administration of Joe Biden. And as Becca also points out, the Biden administration is backing accelerating the deaths of 500,000 children under the age of 5. UN warns 400,000 Yemeni children may starve to death, but as we know, they clearly think that's worth it. Thank Madeline Albright for letting us know that quite a long time ago. But coming back into something that I just pointed out, but I actually am upset with myself for not, I do this often where multiple thoughts jump into my head and I fail to follow up on a specific thought that I was starting. And who knows why that's how my mind works, but this is important. Whitney was just talking about this with me today. And I realized that this is the same thing that I was just talking about. And it's something that I failed to point out. In this case, we're specifically talking about Biden's administration urging the Supreme Court to just ignore your rights. Just ignore it, right? Well, because we don't like guns and we want to take them away. So just ignore their rights. Just rule that we can just ignore their rights and take them. This needs to show you that they don't care. It's not like they care about some of them and some others more. No, they don't care about your rights at all. They give lip service to these things in order to make you think they're a certain kind of person. But if they're willing to ask the court to just look over these things, they don't care about any of them. But the point that Whitney made, or she shared this tweet with me that made the point, as Citizen Uprising points out, truly chilling. The Biden administration is arguing before the Supreme Court that a search warrant is no longer needed to search your home because it serves, quote, public interest. Now, what does that sound like? Vaccinations, COVID-19, it's all about the public greater good. And is it even really in the public greater good? But this is what the governments will harness to drive in what they want, even if it's not. Uh-oh. It says you all elected the real fascist, own it, but at least he's nice on Twitter. Now, that's an excellent point, except the problem is that Trump was just as bad, guys. And yes, Trump didn't, and it's the exact opposite argument, right? Trump allowed a lot of things to happen, but said different things, so it got viewed differently. And yes, I would argue Biden is, and this is the point I made before this, Biden came in picking up where Trump left off, and we're in the middle of an exponential increase in this agenda. So as I said this at the last year of Trump's administration, I said, here's what's going to happen. Biden's going to pick up. I had to have been closer to the election or the inauguration because I was already assuming Biden was going to be the president. Though it must have been, right around probably just before the inauguration. My point nonetheless was that here's what's going to happen, is that Biden's going to pick up and step in and continue all these agendas. And everyone that supports Trump is going to go, see, Biden was the real bad one, because look at how much worse it's gotten. That's a fallacy, because the reality is Trump is why he was able to continue those things, right? This is a handing off the shuttle kind of thing. They're saying, here you go, Biden, continue what we were doing. And they all say different things, and you're supposed to pretend they're different people fighting for different things, but they all are working in the same agenda, guys. So to say he's the real fascist is sort of, it's not true. They're all working on this together. But yes, it does certainly appear that way. And if you were a Democrat who thought Biden was going to save your life, then you're clearly still lost in the two-party illusion. Trump was not going to do it either, guys. But my point was, it's not just about guns, right? Really realize that whether or not you argue it's about guns and say, hey, we don't, let us enter without a warrant to seize guns. You could enter claiming to seize guns and then just find something else or do what you want to do. That's the point. So as they rightly point out, it's simply asking if they could, that a search warrant's no longer needed to search your home. That's it. So they could use, it's like sort of like the idea of the wellness checks, right? They can come in saying, hey, we got a call about some wellness check. And then, oh, look, you've got guns and there's drugs right there. And that becomes the focal point. Was there ever really a wellness check? We'll never know, because they're supposed to be anonymous, right? And this is the same idea. So this is just the erosion of your rights under the guise of wedge issues and hot button topics they think will get you riled up. And instead of focusing on them doing this, you focus on the other side because you don't like those Republicans or I don't like those Democrats. You're falling into the trap, guys. Frankly, I'm getting tired of how naive it is to think that this is really what's going on. Now, Derek just wrote an excellent article, Smart Cities, Digital Prisons of the Great Reset. Now, this is, in fact, part two of his series on smart cities, so I highly recommend you read the first one, Understanding the Dangers of Innovation Zones and Smart Cities. But this is exactly where we need to be right now in our minds. We need to recognize what is being built around us. Corbett and I had a discussion about the digital gulags, and it's the same concept here. That this is they're building the idea under the guise of innovation and equality and equity and all the different things that, oh, we will be able to, the idea is that you'll make your life better by removing all of these certain things. But what they fail to mention is that you have to give up all of your liberty, freedom, and choice to be able to have that safety. And will that actually be what it is? Well, I guess we'll have to trust them. Just like the government says they'll remove safety from your life, every other thing they claim to do doesn't seem to happen. How'd that war on terror work out, right? Don't feel just because they say they're going to accomplish something, it's typically just what they want, they think you want to hear to achieve whatever goals mixed in with that narrative. In this case, it's the Great Reset and everything else that's happening around all of that. The Internet of Things, 5G, the complete network of interconnectivity around the control mechanism, right? That is what we're living inside of this. Now, sure, could that make your life better? I'm sure there's plenty of ways people could perceive it that way, but it has to be a choice. And we're at a point now where this is being shoved into our faces under the guise of danger because COVID-19. And we know that was not the plan, or rather, I shouldn't say it that way. The idea was this has been driving forward long before COVID-19, right? So COVID-19 is part of all of this. But it wasn't just because COVID-19 this came around. So we need to ask whether or not COVID-19 was made or possibly used to push this forward. And here we are seeing how this begins or rather continues. Facebook and Amazon are now Washington's biggest lobbyists. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. But we need to see what that really shows us. Who's really in charge? Did we just watch what happened with Donald Trump? A sitting president gets literally deplatformed while he's president? I guess that's what sitting president means, Ryan. But the point is, Amazon and Facebook are now the biggest lobbyists of these politicians. You know what lobbyists do? They drive the policy. That's what APAC, this is why they were so offended to say APAC is driving policy for, that's racist. It's like, well, no, that's literally what they're paid to do. It just shows you how sensitive they are for you to realize how much they're driving policy. That's why they were afraid of that. In this case, it's the same idea. You think Facebook and Amazon care about your rights? Care about how happy you are, what kind of life you're living? No. And they're the ones now driving your policy. Is that indicative of anything other than the technocratic state? I would say no. And just like we talked about with the cars and how we were just weirdly enough discussing the Suez Canal and how that was affecting, as they claim, magically within 2-3 days, suddenly everything's no longer there, which makes no sense if you understand how the process works. It's not like those things jump out of cargo ships and hop on shelves. There was a long period before what was on that ship would end up on shelves, but let's pretend like it's already showing an effect. The reality is they're claiming it's affecting things like cars. And then in that same article, they go, oh, and by the way, we're also pushing them to get rid of cars altogether. Oh, what a serendipitous event. It just happens to work together. And here is Mr. CIA Buttigieg here. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg says taxing drivers by the mile, quote, shows a lot of promise and could be a way to fund a big infrastructure overhaul. Oh, you mean like the Great Reset? Yeah, he doesn't mean that, though, you conspiracy theorists. Of course, but recognize what this means. Who drives the most? Middle class to poor people, right? Who can afford to pay extra things like this without changing their lives at all? Rich people. Sort of like the carbon tax, where big companies and rich people will just pay for what they want to keep doing, whereas the poor people will have to change their lifestyles because they can't afford to just pay more to do the things that they will continue to have to do, which is continue to drive to work and continue to use all the things. So it won't change anything in regard to pollution except for a minor decrease in poor people, but they'll still be forced to do it for work and whatnot. So this is the same concept. This is a tax on poor in the middle of a situation where it only mostly by and large affecting poor people. Even the World Health Organization telling you lockdowns are affecting poor people. But yeah, let's tax poor people so they can have to pay per mile. This is insulting. And an interesting note to bring us into or finish, I guess, the point about the technocratic idea. Biden spokesperson Jen Psaki worked for Israeli spy firm. Well, what do you know about that? Everything else, anywhere we're talking, everything around this COVID-19 agenda seems to tie back to some kind of Israeli agenda, some kind of unit 8200 linked smart city. You know, it's like everything seems to be tying back that direction. And I'm just not at all shocked to find this out. And this is incredible because of what it seems to be about. Get this. President Joe Biden's press secretary, Jen Psaki, worked for an Israeli firm accused of involvement in surveillance of Palestinians under Israeli military occupation. Gee, I wonder why they don't care about that, the, you know, human rights of the Palestinians while she's literally involved with a group that was doing, I mean, I'll just read forward so I don't jump the point. The disclosure forms for executive branch officials can be requested. There's a link there from the White House, so you can look at it for yourself. Paskey's disclosure obtained by the electronic infodata is included in the article. The exact date of the work is not specified, but it occurs between the time Paskey left Obama's administration, 2017, and now her new role with Biden. So she just broke off the government and went to go work for the Israeli government for, you know, continuing to ethnically cleanse Palestinians. Good times. That's just a, you know, side gig before you come back to the U.S. government. And that seemed normal to anybody? I mean, that's not how this stuff, the idea that you can even go work for a foreign government and come back and work for the executive administration seems a bit weird to me. But I guess it's okay. It's not okay for anybody else, but for Israel's government, that's totally fine. The crossover between Israeli government and the U.S. government is incredibly alarming. As I always point out, go through and look at it, legislation going through the Congress right now, and you'll find that, I mean, the last time I looked, let's put it that way, at least half of them had at least said Israel within the bill. How is that even possible? Because they are overwhelmingly influencing policy, which benefits the Israeli government and their agendas, not you. That's why we're spending billions of dollars during COVID-19 to send money to Israel for multiple things under the guise of helping you in a stimulus bill. How does that even make sense? It doesn't. It's using your needs to justify money for a foreign country. Paskey has operated a communications firm called Evergreen Consulting, which in no way seems connected to that ship, but I still find it odd, since a month after Barack Obama left office. Evergreen being the company, in fact, of the ship that got caught in the Suez Canal. It's a very, very prominent company. I still just find it odd that I keep seeing it pop up. In 2019, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reported that AnyVision's facial recognition, AnyVision being the company, their facial recognition technology, doesn't this seem relevant suddenly, was being secretly used by Israel's occupation army to, quote, monitor West Bank Palestinians at checkpoints on the way into Israel while using a network of cameras deep inside the West Bank. So here's a woman that seems wildly versed on the sort of thing they're currently building in our country. Interesting. Now, and get this, Microsoft divestment. So are we shocked to find out that Microsoft was involved with what Jen Paskey was working on and is also involved with basically everything seeming stemming back to the technological side of what's going on around COVID-19? Well, get this. NBC News stated that AnyVision, quote, powers a secret military surveillance project throughout the West Bank. So as usual, it seems they're using places like this for mass testing, for something that seems to be now happening in a live action exercise, right? Or however you want to put it. That spurred the Drop AnyVision campaign by human rights and Palestine solidarity activists calling on Microsoft to divest from the spy firm. So why in the world is Microsoft involved with a firm that's using facial recognition technology to spy on people who are currently occupied in a horrifying situation that the UN can take? I mean, that's horrifying. They're profiting from this. They're working on this. They're testing on these people. And Microsoft is now involved with literally everything that matters in regard to our policy. I mean, that's crazy. These people continue to commit open war crimes and just crimes and seemingly just walk away. Pfizer, I mean, it's endless. But taking that point forward, here's what Marshall shared today. The Israeli military has been trying to figure out a way to keep Palestinians in the Gaza Strip from crossing over into Israeli proper. And of course, this is, you know, while we're pretending that these people are, you know, all part of Israel and that they're not, you know, the fact that they're keeping them in a location shows you what I'm always talking about, that they're not allowed to leave. It's a prison. But it says the latest tactic, exactly what you can see right there. Create a set of automated kill zones by networking together remote controlled machine guns with ground sensors. This is straight up dystopian world. I mean, if these people just happen, what if a child runs out in that area? Well, guess what? They're going to get shot. Not like the snipers care any much more about children getting shot anyway, because they continue to openly shoot children and cheer about it, as I've shown you many times. But the point is, this is the world they're practicing to build everywhere else, guys. If there's any indication about what we've seen, and the fact that we know that somebody currently under Biden's administration was working on this project in regard to this exact kind of thing, it just makes it too ridiculous to ignore. Now, on those points, now that, to be honest, that took much longer than I had planned on the opening, but just for the record, I don't tend to usually try not to take that long with the points, but I hope you can all acknowledge that those points were very relevant. These are all things that seem kind of, you know, in not really connected to the COVID-19 discussion. So let's bring that in to the topic today, which I think is the most important thing. This will definitely be something I clip up on its own, but this brings us to the discussion of what these PCR test swabs have on them. Now, I am not familiar with this article or this website. Somebody sent this to me, and this is what kind of triggered my interest in this. Now, just for the record, I don't know what this site very much at all. But again, the point I'm always making for you guys is it doesn't ultimately matter if you have the source material, which I do, as you know well. That's how we do this. So the point is, I'm going to go through what they say, but there's a lot of things that this article says and does that I wholeheartedly disagree with. Even simply saying tests contain ETO poison, right? Now, this is stuff that's used all around the world for all sorts of things. Now, would I agree it's a poison, especially if you're in your body? Then absolutely. But to say that, it's just sort of like, you get the point. Like, there's ways this is being framed that I would prefer not be such, you know, framed in the way you think as opposed to what the facts are showing. This is my point. So before we get into the actual source material, let's read what they're saying, because there is factual information here. Ethylene oxide is normally produced in massive quantities and is often an intermediate for, guess what, ethylene glycol. I just thought that was ridiculous, seeing as how we're talking about polyethylene glycol or triethylene glycol, two things that are currently being used in many different places in regard to COVID-19 that all have negative side effects to your health, even though they're being used for your safety, which makes little sense at all, especially because the polyethylene glycol is the PEG, the lipid nanoparticle we're talking about, nanotechnology around the spike protein that is in every vaccine, or specifically in the ones we recently talked about, and that this is something that can, according to Wikipedia, have an effect on up to 70% of the population. So let's pretend like that doesn't explain all these allergic side effects we keep seeing. But this is another aspect of this. Now, we're talking about ethylene oxide, but make sure you understand that it's as often an intermediate for ethylene glycol. Now, ETO, or ethylene oxide, is also used as a fumigant in agriculture and a sterilant in medical industry. Now, that's how it applies here, except in most cases, these aren't things that are being jammed in someone's nose. ETO is also used in COVID-19 tests, as well as something that is porous in fabric, right? Typically metal instruments and things of this nature. Now, it says, and at the beginning of the pandemic, sterilization techniques for PPE, such as gowns and masks used in the medical field, were called into question for use of ethylene oxide, right? We've heard, this is actually something that has come up in the conversation before. There's been a few interesting things, even going into the idea of the triethylene glycol, right? We talked about these different masks or certain things that were treated and people got upset about it, and then it kind of drifted in the background. Similar topic. Let me read that again. At the beginning of the pandemic, sterilization techniques for PPE, like masks and so on, and were called into question because PPE was in short supply. The FDA and EPA encouraged medical supply and sterilization companies to specifically use ETO to help meet the demands for PPE. Right? And this is 100% accurate, and hopefully you remember that part of the story. Right. But the FDA and the EPA, as the Herald points out, the Colorado Herald, the FDA and the EPA may or may not have realized at the time that COVID-19 tests would be sterilized with ethylene oxide. Right. The test, this exact kind of concept. Right. So when they made that broad statement, are they aware that this would be used on something with the fabric or something that would be used in this way? Possibly. I mean, that's the idea. If we believe this is being done for the purpose of increasing your risk, then that would be a yes, but that's for you to decide. Then we're talking about these swabs. Now it says the ingredient list for FlowQ swabs, which is a widely used swab in COVID-19 testing, reveals that the swabs are in fact sterilized with ETO. And that's the document we have right here, which I'll show you next. As they point out, according to the EPA, and we'll go over the CDC specifically what they say about it, seeing as how this seems to be a choice that's made by these regulatory agencies, overexposure to ETO causes symptoms including nausea, vomiting, bronchitis, neurological disorders, pulmonary edema. I didn't look this one up. Emphysema. Oh, emphysema. That's funny. It's, you know, same. I always point this out. It's so funny how you could look at it both ways. You've never seen the word, but you've said it, or you've said the word, but you've never written it. It's always funny when that happens. Maybe just to me. Emphysema, which we do know. So irritation of dermal areas and contact, irritation of eyes, skin, and respiratory passages, renal failure, which is interesting because we've seen that. We've already discussed that quite a bit in this COVID-19 discussion. Miscarriage, Decreased fertility in both sexes, of course, lymphoid and breast cancer, brain, organ, skin, lung cancer, lymphoma, and leukemia. Now, cancer seems to be one of the main things around this discussion, but it says people fall ill from both acute exposure and exposure over time to ETO. Now, that is the most important point, in my opinion. Now, going aside, now the point is they make some arguments in this article for the rest of this that, you know, I just think is a little more subjective, in my opinion, but I'm glad they point this out. So let's get into the actual source material. So regardless of what you think about what else they say or the site itself, this is what you should care about. The fact that this is the insert for these swabs, and you can see that for, you can see it for yourself. Now, here is what it says right here. Production, just the same thing he was pointing out on the website. The device is subjected to a treatment with ethylene oxide. Okay. Just so we know that that is the case, which means that these things are being sprayed with a gas that is supposed to sterilize them. Okay. Now that's a fact. Now here is what Reuters has to say. And I find this interesting because they admit this, but make sure to argue something that I think makes my point for me. Lateral flow test, PCR. I also want to make the point about this that isn't telling that everybody suddenly stopped saying PCR and went to lateral flow, seemingly all of mainstream media, right about the time when it was very clear PCR tests were not to be trusted. It's sort of like when they change the name of a Syrian rebel group and we start to recognize their terrorists. And they go, oh, no, they're not Al-Qaeda. They're Hayat al-Sham. Now, they're not the same thing. We're supporting them again. You know, pretty interesting. Maybe just my opinion. I'm sure there's other examples of PCR being used. But in my experience over the last couple of weeks, I continue to see lateral flow used far more than PCR. Interesting. The tests do not cause cancer. That's what they're saying. Ethylene oxide sterilization is a widely used process that is regulated by international safety standards. Now, let's be very clear. This is how they're always, always play these fact checks. Did anybody in any case, let's just say the article or even these, the point is, are we saying that lateral flow tests cause cancer? Or are we saying that something that is on these can cause cancer? Obviously, that is very different. But you see, when they do this, it's a straw man. And that way they can attack an argument we're not making and act like that debunks something we never argued was the case, but the argument that debunks everything we said. Ethylene oxide sterilization is widely used. And that, see, this is another one they use. Does that mean that it's safe? Right? They used DDT for a really long time. They used Teflon. And for, I mean, all these things that we found out, DuPont and all these companies where they used them for years when after they knew that they were dangerous and just kept doing it. Widely used means pretty much nothing in this country and these governments from plenty of places around the world. Process that is regulated by international safety standards. Now, it says, while the Facebook user is correct to say ethylene oxide is considered a carcinogen, it is, by CDC, by the WHO, by all these groups, and that its gaseous form is used to sterilize swabs, it is not accurate to say they claim that the swabs are coated in the substance. Also, they're taking an issue with how much it would seem. Isn't that interesting? We're getting real nitpicky here. Coated in the substance when they are eventually used. Now, I wouldn't say they were coated either. I think that's a mischaracterization. A major part of the sterilization process ensures the gas is removed from the product that here and that any leftover residue, and this is the important part. So they're admitting here is that there is leftover residue and they claim it's just below that of the safety levels set by national standards. Now, again, does that mean that standard is safe? No. They're claiming that all sorts of things are safe. Glyphosate, you know, GMO foods, all these things they're safe around this level, or even chemicals and different things that have shown to be absolutely incorrect. And then they adjust the number. And so they were wrong that entire time, right? So the idea that they're set by national standards doesn't really, I mean, that's something that matters, but it doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's safe, right? But the point is leftover residue that they claim is just below the safety level, but they are claiming that there is absolutely ethylene oxide on the swabs that are jamming up people's nose. So make sure you remember that. Ethylene oxide gas is an extremely common feature when sterilizing medical equipment. Again, I just argue that it's more so for things that are not so porous. But it says, I mean, you know, this would be the equivalent of using that gas to sterilize cotton balls. It doesn't make sense, right? And that's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. In the statement to Reuters, the Department of Health and Social Care addressed claims that COVID-19 test swabs pose a danger to humans. It said, quote, lateral flow tests have been rigorously tested and are safe to use on a regular basis. Okay, does that answer the question? To point to what the consensus has said? or what they tell us. See, this is what they continue to do. When you point out a concern about the vaccine, they go, well, they've all tested them and they're safe and effective, so you're wrong. It's like, well, that doesn't make sense, because I'm not talking about the general consensus about things that happened before. I'm talking about what just happened and how that's interesting. And we're, you know, and but no, they've already been safe and effective. So this is the same thing. When asked specifically about the test swabs and whether they could pose danger with this chemical, he just said they've been tested and they're safe and effective, or the same version of that. Any suggestion otherwise is inaccurate and harmful misinformation. It's just the same meaningless, factless retort. It doesn't mean anything to reiterate what you just said. Ethylene oxide is only used in the sterilization of swabs and is one of the most commonly used. What they mean in that regard is this, like, in regard to the PCR test, they're only used in regard to the swabs, and it is one of the most commonly used sterilization tools in healthcare industry, principally applied by manufacturers to keep medical devices safe. It says, we are working in lockstep, interesting, with social media platforms to ensure they are identifying and taking action to remove incorrect claims such as this about the pandemic, including deliberately false information that could endanger people's health. You know what's endangering people's health is their aggressive effort to remove things that they think counter their narrative. That's what's endangering people's health. But the reality is that, yes, they're working in lockstep because that's what they planned. It's not a coincidence they're even using that term, guys. It's crazy how obvious this is. But the reality is that they are doing this and they are removing content. You know, what they're calling incorrect claims, such as that lockdowns don't work or that masks can hurt, you know, can increase your risk of infection. Oh, all these fake claims that are backed up by science and proven many times over. Get those out of the way. Right, that's what they're literally doing. Or the fact that I can point to Germany and Norway saying they've proven that blood clots are being caused by the AstraZeneca vaccine, and I can be censored for medical misinformation by groups just like this. But their verdict? False. Well, because what they debunked was that we're saying these tests cause cancer, but nobody said that. Interesting. Okay, going forward, don't forget that they're telling you that there's leftover residue on these, but it's just below the amount that puts you in danger. Okay, so here's the CDC in regard to ethylene glycol first, because remember, the point is why I'm even talking about glycol is they're saying it's an intermediate for ethylene glycol. So first, talk about this one. Here's what this says. Your health is not likely to be seriously affected by very small amounts of ethylene glycol that could be tasted or otherwise accidentally eaten, for example, by putting your fingers in your mouth after getting them wet, after it's antifreeze or whatever else. Accidental or intentional ingestion of larger amounts can cause serious illness. When ethylene glycol breaks down in the body, it forms chemicals that crystallize, and the crystals can collect in your kidneys and can affect kidney function. So again, we're talking about something that can build up in your body. So whether or not it's a small amount, if it collects and you get tested repeatedly, and that's and we are assuming that it can trans. I mean, look, I think it's a pretty no-brainer to argue that it's the same with masks. There are things that come off on any fabric, and if you're using especially something like a swab, if that has residue, as they said, it's a no-brainer that's why they say it's below the safe below the dangerous levels, because they know that there is some transmission there. So you do get something, but it's way below the dangerous level, they say. Okay, so if it can continue to build up, crystallize and develop and build up in your kidneys, so the more you continue to do that, the more that's it putting you at risk. I mean, this is basic stuff. Ethylene glycol also forms acidic chemicals in the body, which can change the body's acid-base balance and affect your nervous system, your lungs, or your heart. Pretty interesting. It says it's a synthetic liquid substance that absorbs water. It's odorous, but it has a sweet taste. Ethylene glycol is used to make antifreeze. Sounds like good stuff, right? Well, here is CDC on ethylene oxide, specifically in regard to the gas sterilization. The main disadvantages associated with the ethylene oxide are the things they list there, but as well, its potential hazards to patients and staff. Specifically, what they're putting on the end of these things or treating them with that leaves a residue before it goes in your nose. Acute exposure to ethylene oxide may result in irritation to skin, eyes, gastrointestinal, or respiratory tracts, and central nervous system depression. Now, you know what happens when you irritate or create severe irritation of the respiratory tract? It can create infections. It can create all sorts of things, which can then lead to things that they then diagnose as COVID-19 with a false positive PCR test, and on and on. Occupational exposure in healthcare facilities has been linked to hematologic changes, which is interesting to me. occupational exposure. Now, this is far more than just a small amount on the tip, but the same point is interesting what this can do. And it increased risk of spontaneous abortions of various cancers. So it's just odd to me seeing these miscarriages and all the stuff around all this, and it get interesting how this seems to at least suggest a possible tie. Increased risk of spontaneous abortions. But again, to be clear, that's talking about occupational exposure in healthcare facilities. Far more than you're getting from these things. But nonetheless, interesting. ETO should be considered a known human carcinogen. That's the CDC saying this. So why is this okay then to put, why would you even come close to using a known carcinogen on something you're going to put inside your body and many people's bodies repeatedly? Here's the Chicago Tribune all the way back in 2018. Officials knew ethylene oxide was linked to cancer for decades. Here's why it's still being emitted in the locations they're discussing. This is the Chicago Tribune, guys. I mean, this is everywhere. The history is clear. This is a potentially dangerous substance. So why then is it being used in this way? Cancer risks spur calls to replace ethylene oxide. This is back in 2019. So this is something this has been an ongoing conversation. Doesn't that seem relevant to like every other thing we get into? With the mask, these are discussions people were having. Do these things work or are they making more problems and we just put it away? And then COVID happened and all of a sudden it was all the narrative and only what they wanted you to hear and all the questions and concerns, they just pushed them to the side as conspiracy theory. I mean, this is being put forward by experts and doctors and people that know what they're talking about. CDC, ethylene oxide may have more health effects than cancer. So we're already assuming they're cancerous, right? So that's a foregone conclusion. Well, they may have more health effects though. This is October 2020. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention yesterday released a draft toxicity profile of ethylene oxide that treats it as a more far-reaching health threat than the EPA does. So it went from 17 to 19 to 2020 when people are going kind of, sort of, maybe dangerous. This is the CDC saying it is cancerous, and then it goes even farther than that. And they think it's more far-reaching health threat than even the EPA. But sure, let's put it on swabs that go in your nose. The EPA and the Federal Department of Health and Human Services both consider ethylene oxide a human carcinogen. The CDC's systematic review of non-cancer hazards includes presumed respiratory, neurotoxicity, genotoxicity, reproductive toxicity, and developmental toxicity, and suspected hematological and endocrine health effects. This is exactly the same as the other one was saying. This does not seem like some minor thing to be concerned about. It goes on to say it also detailed the results of several studies linking ethylene oxide to cancer in humans, including breast cancer, leukemia, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and lymphomatopoietic, that's not right, poietic, it looks like it, cancers. But it says it can also penetrate different types of device packaging, enabling sterilizers to process truckloads worth of devices simultaneously. So you know what that tells me? If you got something porous, it goes all the way through. Because if it can go through boxes and packaging to the metal devices and things on the inside, well, then it can go right through porous material. And the idea is this gas is being pumped on this stuff and it's going all the way through these swabs and all the way through. And so if, yes, it has a residue because of that fact. So the question remains, do you think this is worth being concerned about? I mean, I think by itself, that's an obvious yes. But you add it in with everything else that's happening. You add it in with all the other things that seem to be leading to these problems that are then being like collectively diagnosed as either COVID-19 or COVID-19 long haul or, you know, different things that have nothing to do with what their real culprits are. I find that to be alarming in and of itself. But as always, the point is for you to do the research and look into it for yourself. I find it to be more than enough to be concerned about. Now, bringing it forward on the vaccine discussion, took a drink and that got caught. COVID vaccine, AstraZeneca updates U.S. vaccine efficacy results. Now, going into the vaccine discussion from what we were just talking about, first of all, recognize that the test itself is just an obvious, especially the linchpin of the illusion right? The PCR test, the numbers, the false positives being used to justify damn near everything. But also in these vaccines are the nanotechnology, right? The polyethylene glycol, the things that are also causing these possible effects. So just consider that, how it seems that at every angle, there seems to be something that they just really want to test on people or get in your body. But that's just my take. COVID vaccine updates, and this is telling you that, yeah, well, now they're going to go back to using it despite all of the concerns. And that does seem to be what was pre-planned, right? The idea that they can just quickly go right back to it despite all the concerns makes no sense at all, other than to try to alleviate fears, and it doesn't seem to have worked. In the results announced on Monday, the company said the vaccine was found to be 79% effective. Right, in reducing symptoms. They don't like to say that, though. But the next day, the NIAID, said it had been informed by data and safety officials monitoring the trial that information that had been used and provided was an incomplete view. You know what's funny? So right here, they're willing to say that it was. But how funny is it that during this discussion, every single media report said may have used incomplete, may have used outdated, or may have cherry-picked. Did they or not? You're literally talking to Fauci. So pretty sure they know. But don't you love how they can never just come out and say it? Oh, yeah, they don't have an agenda at all. Dr. Fauci, the White House medical chief advisor, warned reporters the firm would, quote, likely come out with a modified statement. And of course they did. Think about this is what we were just talking about, I think, with Tim. Think about how crazy it is that these are pharmaceutical companies. These are profit-driven vaccine companies, by the way, that have been caught lying and cheating. Again, as I just said, $3.9 billion, I believe, in just safety violations, lying about safety, about their products, because that's not relevant at all. I just totally lost what I was saying. Hold on a second. Anyway, the point is here, we're talking about the fact that that's what it was, the percentages. We're talking about a company that is driven by profit, that is doing their own trials and then just telling you the information. I mean, yes, they're giving you data, files and paperwork to look at, but why is that not easy to lie about and to write down things that aren't true? I mean, these are literally companies that have been caught lying about just that kind of lie or that kind of manipulation. And so here they are going, yeah, it was 79 or it's this. And yeah, we went back and looked and it's only 76 now. Sure, we'll take you at face value. How about we have groups? How about we come up with a cool idea and create groups that their job is to investigate this stuff? And their job is to, I don't know, regulate these companies. Because that wouldn't that be a great idea? Oh, that's right. We already have those companies and they don't seem to be involved at all other than just taking at face value what these profit-driven vaccine companies say about their products. Because they're out for your best interest, right? And not some revolving door regulatory agency that just constantly takes people in and out of pharmaceutical companies. It is now clear that the numbers have not moved by much. Of course, that's the point. So we were all concerned, but don't worry. They only moved a couple percent. So it's still the same thing. That was all overblown by the conspiracy theorists, right? No, not right. Because in Norway, they're saying, no, it's proven. We know it. They did. That's causing the blood clots and you're in danger. But who cares about that if you're in the U.S. because we did our own trial and we don't believe them. AstraZeneca has risked reputational damage as a result of the public ticking off and senior figures are privately dismayed by now. Just funny how the way that they're framing this, but they're going forward is the point. It's all good. It's only 76. We're all good. Not a problem. Well, India halts the COVID vaccine exports. They changed the title on me. I forgot this. Now this is one of these kind of running articles they do on Zero Hedge where they update as it goes along. So the point is that multiple locations have already gone back to using this despite the unknown. Like, I just think that's so incredible. It shows you these governments have no concern about safety. And it says, despite AstraZeneca releasing its revised trial data earlier, Denmark has actually decided to extend the pause, which I love, because they're saying, maybe it's just part of this, making it look like they're doing their due diligence. But I like that this is people, they're showing you, look, we're not convinced here. I don't care what the U.S. government says, that this company says and what they're doing. They're concerned. On March 11th, Denmark joined Norway, Austria, Italy, and Iceland to suspend the use of the vaccine after reports of blood clots. Of course, they put blood blots. I put blot clots the other day, and I caught it before I put it out. Originally, the rollout of the coronavirus jab was paused for 14 days as a precautionary measure, but Danish officials said on March 25th yesterday that this had been extended by 3 weeks as they concluded their own investigations. Most European countries just simply resumed the shot after the EU's medicine watchdog just said again and repeated it, safe and effective. What does that even mean in the face of so many unknowns and the fact that it's still being tested and that effective only applies to reducing symptoms? I mean, this is the most flagrant misrepresentation of all time. That is what medical misinformation looks like. So the EU medical watchdog, which is completely invested in the entire agenda, goes, yeah, it's safe and effective. Keep using it. While Norway's going, nah, not true. Not true. It has been confirmed. Now, could they be wrong? Sure. But wouldn't you have a little bit of pause if you were one of these countries and you're going, wait a minute, they seem pretty sure over there. Germany seems to be pretty sure too. Well, maybe we should. Nope, doesn't matter. Because I think the point was not caring in the first place, but about acting like you care. Now, it says the FT reported that AstraZeneca is working on creating a vaccine nasal spray. That's not necessarily new, but just in the mix of all of this stuff, it makes me very alarmed about what would actually be going on there. Oxford AstraZeneca's partner in developing the vaccine has started advertising for participants for a trial of the nasal spray vaccine. So now we're testing new products based off something we haven't even finished testing. You realize how ridiculous that is? They're currently still testing the first product, and they're going to adapt this product to a nasal spray before they've even finished testing the one they're currently testing. That's so incredible. Pfizer revealed just minutes ago that it would soon start trialing the COVID vaccine on children younger than 12. So it's official now. They are now going to be testing or experimenting on children with an experimental vaccine when these kids are at a 0% chance of getting or dying from this. According to the CDC, asymptomatic has been shown to be literally non-existent. I shouldn't say literally, should basically non-existent. So why are we testing on them if they don't need it? Because it's not about COVID or keeping them safe. Not even close. The company hopes to vaccinate younger children early next year, according to the New York Times. Why? Why? Because, well, profit, first of all, because vaccinating as many people as possible is what the game is when you're making money from every shot. But the idea here is, why do they need the vaccine? All they're going to say is, just in case, but that's not a good enough answer. Or they're going to say asymptomatic, and that's not true. There's no real reason. It's disgusting. But again, Norwegian experts say deadly blood clots were caused by AstraZeneca vaccine, right? What they're saying is that their theory about this being the case has been confirmed. So it's obscene that these governments are going right back to it. Remember, even the Wall Street Journal pointed this out. Scientists say they found cases of rare blood clotting linked to AstraZeneca vaccine. It says right here, two teams of medical researchers in Norway and Germany have independently found that the vaccine could trigger an autoimmune reaction causing blood to clot in the brain. But who cares, right? Because vaccine good, guys. Here's the defender pointing out that guess what, guys? This is actually something that Tim shared with me today on the show that I hadn't seen. This is actually from February, which again is just so baffling of this stuff. This is why it's so hard to actually continue to get updated information, because the media just, you don't, unless you know where to find stuff, you don't find it. Right? So someone like me who's trying to search a topic, it's almost impossible to come across people who are objectively reporting on it, because that will be buried on purpose. Even if you search for the exact title as I've shown you, you won't find it. That's just staggering. But back to the point, could spike protein in Moderna, Pfizer vaccines cause blood clots, brain inflammation, and heart attacks? Well, doesn't that seem interesting? So maybe it's just about the spike protein and the mRNA style we're talking about, or whatever they're doing with all of these things that's causing something like this to happen. But this is a very, very telling letter that I'm going to read to you. It says, in his public submission, Whalen sought to alert the FDA, and his name is Patrick Whalen, MD, PhD. In his public submission, Whalen sought to alert the FDA, you know, that group that wasn't even allowed to sit at the table while they were discussing these vaccines, because I'm sure that's who we should be reaching out to. Please, FDA, keep us safe from the group that you're not even actually holding to account. But it says, he reached out to the FDA about the potential for vaccines designed to create immunity to the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein to instead cause injuries. Now remember, this is, now this was, here's the actual thing. This was December 8th, okay? Specifically, Whalen was concerned that the new mRNA vaccine technology utilized by Pfizer and Moderna has, quote, the potential to cause microvascular injury, inflammation, and small blood clots called microthrombi. We've been hearing this constantly around the discussion of AstraZeneca, to the brain, to the heart, to the liver, to the kidneys, in ways that were not assessed in the safety trials. Well, what do you know? Maybe because they made sure that was the case and didn't do certain things and didn't do exactly, as we keep pointing out, and as RFK Jr. and plenty others pointed out, the animal trials, which were skipped early on, whether or not they came around to do things after the fact, which is irrelevant because we're already pumping this into people's arms, is the fact that that was where you would have found this out, as RFK Jr. pointed out more than once. That's where you find this part of it out, right? And the idea is they skipped that. So that's why the antibody dependent enhancement, the molecular mimicry, the pathogenic priming, these are all things that are currently happening that they could have found out. Gee, I wonder why they didn't want to. Sort of like how they made sure to not pay enough to actually find out if it would stop transmission. And now we see that it can't, probably because they knew that. We don't know if it might stop transmission. There's countless examples of people getting this after the 2 weeks and a week later, and they're still catching it, right? It's ridiculous. But it says he cautioned that it, quote, would be vastly worse if hundreds of millions of people were to suffer long lasting or even permanent damage to their brain or heart, microvasculature as a result of failing to appreciate in the short term an unintended effect of full-length spike protein-based vaccines on other organs. Unfortunately, Whalen's concerns were not acknowledged, because that's what you do when you're an honest company making sure things are safe, right? You ignore genuine concerns from experts. And it says the agency instead relied on the limited clinical trial data, right? So instead of actually looking at the breadth of data from previous discussions or people like this that are showing you things that they've already looked into, all they did was look at the one thing they did and say, see, we didn't see that in this small trial of limited people where we skipped parts. So it's all good then. The VRBPAC endorsed the use of the Pfizer vaccine on December 10th. The following day, the FDA issued the first COVID-19 vaccine emergency use authorization, allowing the Pfizer biotech COVID-19 vaccine to be widely distributed in individuals 16 and older without calling for the additional safe studies that Whalen felt were crucial to assure safety of the vaccine, especially in children. So here, guys, and by the way, there's a lot more in this article that I really hope you will read. It's a great article. I just want to hone in on this one part about this discussion about what Whalen had to say. University of California, Los Angeles. Dear colleagues, now it's entitled Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, RE, Notice of Meeting, Establishment of a Public Docket Request for Comments Related to Consideration of Vaccines Against COVID-19, SARS-CoV-2. He says, I am a pediatric specialist caring for children with the multi-inflammatory syndrome, MISC. Now, I almost didn't know. It appears this is just a coincidence. But you know how we think about coincidences. But he doesn't seem to reference MISC in any way in regard to his concerns. But isn't that crazy? This is what they're trying to blame on COVID right now. Here's a guy already working with kids in regard to this, and it's just so strange the way that maybe I'm missing something. If you see something in this connection, please tell me. But the MISC thing is not really the point. But I feel like I must be missing something because it's just so strange. But so he's a pediatric specialist caring for children with multi-system inflammatory syndrome. What they're now saying is caused by COVID-19, which I think is ridiculous. And I went over all the information and showed why that seems to be a complete assumption. I am concerned about the possibility that the new vaccines aimed at creating immunity against the SARS-CoV-2 spike protein, including the mRNA vaccine of Moderna and Pfizer, have the potential to cause microvascular injury to the brain, heart, liver, and kidneys in a way that is not currently being assessed in safety trials of these potential drugs. Putman et al., one of these studies, showed that the prospective study of 100 German patients who were recently recovered from COVID-19 revealed significant cardiac involvement on cardiac MRI scans in 78% of them, an average two and a half months after their recovery from the acute illness. Two-thirds of these patients were never hospitalized, and there was ongoing myocardial inflammation in 60%. The abnormalities occurred independent of pre-existing conditions, severity of the initial disease, and overall course of the acute illness. Magro et al. Showed that there is complement-mediated damage even in grossly normal skin of coronavirus-infected individuals. They have also shown that ACE2 receptor expression is highest in the microvasculature of the brain and subcutaneous fat, and to a lesser degree in the liver, kidney, and heart. They have further demonstrated that the coronavirus replicates almost exclusively in the septal, by the way, just so you know, these are things that he is stating. I'm not necessarily endorsing all of this. I just want you to see it in its full statement. Capillary endothelial cells of the lungs and the nasopharynx, and that viral lysis and immune destruction of those cells releases viral capsid proteins that travel through the circulation and bind to ACE2 receptors in these other parts of the body, leading to mannan-binding lectin complement pathway activation that not only damages the microvascular endothelium, but also induces a production of many pro-inflammatory cytokines. Meinhardt et al. Show that the spike protein in brain endothelial cells is associated with formation of microthrombi, clots, blood clots, and like Magro et al., do not find viral RNA in brain endothelium. In other words, viral proteins appear to cause tissue damage without actively replicating virus. Is it possible the spike protein itself causes the tissue damage associated with COVID-19? And it says that this study has shown that in 13 of 13 brains from patients with fatal COVID-19, pseudovirions without viral RNA are present in endothelial of cerebral microvessels. Furthermore, tail vein injection of the full-length S1 spike subunit, it's an odd word, I'll look it up in a second, in mice led to neurological signs, not evident in those injected with the S2, same word. The S1 localizes to the endothelial of the microvessels in the mouse brain and is not a potent neurotoxin. Make sure I'm skipping a part here. Okay, let me just jump to this last part. While there are pieces to this puzzle that have yet, so you can just see, he just goes on to, he's basically just elaborating on the same point. I don't want to keep mispronouncing those words. While there are pieces to this puzzle that have yet to be worked out, it appears that the viral spike protein, now this is important because this is what they're putting in your body with this mRNA vaccine, that is the target of the major SARS-CoV-2 vaccine, is also one of the key agents causing the damage to distant organs that may include the brain, heart, lungs, and kidneys. Before any of these vaccines are approved for widespread use in humans, it is important to assess in vaccinated subjects the effects of vaccination on the heart, perhaps using cardiac MRI and so on. Vaccinated patients could also be tested for distant tissue damage in deltoid areas of skin biopsies, as employed by Margaret et al. As important as it is to quickly arrest the spread of the virus by immunizing the population, it would be vastly worse if hundreds of millions of people were to suffer long-lasting or even permanent damage to their brain or heart microvasculature as a result of failing to appreciate in the short term an unintended effect of full-length spike protein-based vaccines on other organs. It's just, this is a very legitimate concern that makes more sense than most of the things that we see come across the table. But I'm not arguing those others we pointed out were not logical, but this is just an obvious concern. It says, in caring for children with MISC, I have been impressed with how widespread the organ involvement is, particularly given the absence of actively replicating virus in virtually all patients. Particularly caution with regards to, and this is what's interesting though, is that so clearly he's under the impression that MISC is being caused by COVID-19, right? Which I just find interesting. So I really want to look more into this in regard to why he's feeling this is the case. But in any case, this is one of the important things I'm keep trying to show you, is that even people who agree with a lot of things that we disagree with are likewise very concerned about the vaccine and very concerned about the side effects of it, right? And this is important. I mean, this speaks to that same kind of Gert Van Bosch discussion that's continuing to circle around. right? It's important to understand that there are things that can be taken from that that you can discuss, but also be very skeptical about where the direction's being driven from there. It doesn't mean that people that want to entertain the point he's making about why they're dangerous are suddenly all shills, right? That was never the intention with the interview or any of that, right? Now, clearly, there seems to be agendas on all sides and everywhere and all these discussions, but the point is, it's about getting to the bottom of the facts. And in this case, obviously, this person clearly thinks that there's some very real danger happening here. You know what? And maybe he's right. I disagree. But at the end of the day, this is a person who cannot be dismissed as some anti-science conspiracy theorist who is saying that there's a very real danger of using this technology in people and especially mass vaccinating. And yet they don't care. How in the world can we not see that for what it is? Now, on top of that, recognize what we just showed the other day. Again, the fact that the informed consent disclosure, this is being pointed out by another study from, this is October, actually, interestingly enough, 2020. And they're saying the same thing. They're saying COVID-19 vaccines are designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies, and they may sensitize vaccine recipients to more severe disease than if they were not vaccinated. The specific and significant COVID-19 risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been and should be prominently and independently disclosed to research subjects currently in vaccine trials, as well as those being recruited for the trials and future patients of after vaccine approval, right? So everybody anywhere taking this vaccine do so in order to meet the medical ethics standards for patient comprehension for informed consent. So they're saying that this is very clearly being omitted, that they know this risk is there. It's a specific and significant risk, and it should be prominently displayed, and it's not. So they're not even abiding by the basic concept of informed consent. Now, look what Israel said, right? Their ethics chairman resigned because they refused they wanted to test on pregnant women, and he didn't want it to happen because he thought it was immoral, wrong, it was a dangerous thing to do. Then they said they were going to do it anyway. So then he said, please just give them informed consent forms because you have to. And they said, no, we're not going to do that either. How do we not see what this is? To choose not to use an informed consent form means you're hiding something. Because we know the chairman of ethics can resign, but we're still conspiracy theorists, right? It's just so insulting. But the reality is they're not giving you the full picture. Informed consent doesn't exist anymore. They're telling you what they want you to think and possibly even switching things out like they did back in 1976 and caused a lot of damage. But that's fake news conspiracy theory, Ryan, because that's never, but it did happen though. And your government did do that. So it's totally logical and it's just a funny thing to even argue that it's allowed. It's allowed to say, I'm allowed to point that out. Of course we can say that. Of course we can consider whether your government would do again what they've done before. But not today, because it's all conspiracy if it's outside the narrative. But don't worry, though, because you can just go get your experimental injection that's never been successful until now and say, except simultaneously multiple ones at the same time, that's currently still being tested but not approved, from a dentist. Because, you know, dentists know what to do if you start to have anaphylactic shock, or dentists know what to do if you start to have swelling of the brain, or have a complete, you know, any number of the things we continue to see. They know what to do, right? Right? They'll just put you under, right? Or they'll give you a filling. Totally fine. Would you get a COVID vaccine from your dentist? Drillers and fillers fight the pandemic. This is just so dumb to me. In fact, the procedure will be even easier for him than oral shots because vaccine patients won't be able to fend off needles with their tongues or by clamping their mouth shut. Now, I don't know if they're trying to be kind of funny about this, but that's very alarmingly seems to suggest like it's just, you know, that's not that the idea is that the way that sounds is like they're going to do this without your knowledge or that it's going to happen in a time. But regardless, it's a very alarming thing to say that they won't be able to fend off the needles. Somebody pointed it out to me. I just thought that was ridiculous. But at the end of the day, you know, go to the Krispy Kreme, go to the Waffle House, go to the local bar, get your vaccine, because that's totally normal in the world of COVID-19, because they're desperate to make you think this very alarmingly dangerous thing is totally fine. Totally fine. Except all the numbers and all the stats and the fact that they're dismissing anything that comes up, because that's not alarming at all. Just put your head down and trust that it's fine. And just assume that Russia is the one causing all the disinformation, right? Because it's only Russia. Because it's not like we have 1,000 reasons to be concerned about what this thing is. And none of those things have anything to do with Russia. But of course, Russia using disinformation to erode trust. Of course. Because if you have no other option, blame Russia, right? Because that's the what you do. If everything looks like, if all you have is a hammer, then everything looks like a nail, as they say. It's just because you have nothing, no other options. If they clearly see that we're concerned because of what they're doing, and they go, oh, Russia's making that happen because we know we're good people. Guys, you don't even believe that. Like, I don't think anybody believes that anymore. It's quite pathetic, but they're still desperately trying. It's quite cute, actually. The defender goes on to point out today, a 68-year-old dies after anaphylactic reaction to COVID vaccine as CDC continues to ignore the inquiry into increased numbers of deaths. Why? Well, because we can't prove that it was caused by that. Okay, well, what else caused it? Well, we don't know. Well, okay, so are we going to continue researching? No, but it's not the vaccine. But did we prove that? No. Okay, like round and round we go, right? You if you don't prove that it wasn't, you also, you don't get to just prove that it, you don't know what it was, and you can't put it this way. To argue that you can't prove that it is caused by the vaccine is not the same as arguing that it wasn't caused by the vaccine, but that's what they're doing. And of course, pointing to VAERS, the only place you can report these side effects is if it's some fringe popular list where they catalog things that has nothing to do with official numbers, except that's literally the only place, and it is a very official location for reporting things, so they can dismiss them. That's why it was built. But the reality is the CDC continues to ignore the growing lists of deaths being reported. Sure, some of them could be wrong, fake, lies, some of them. But as we know, 1%, give or take, is what actually ends up on VAERS. 1%. So let's just say even 1% of the 1% is real. That's still wildly alarming, seeing as how we're looking at about 500 to 900 times what we see from the flu vaccine, I should say. This week alone, VAERS data included 2,306 reports of anaphylaxis. Because that has nothing to do with polyethylene glycol or any number of other things. Nothing, right? These are all fake Hulk reports, right? It's like that doctor who said he was turned into the Hulk. So everything's fake, right? Oh, it's so fake and dumb. So why is it still there then? 2,306 in a week anaphylactic reports. This is crazy that this is being dismissed as nothing. Now, the point of it all is that it leads to a situation where they're creating a world where you can't live without having proof of this injection, proof of this experimental injection. And of course, this is how it all started, right? This is actually only from 2 days ago, but it was a good kind of general headline to point out for what has been happening. As I just kind of casually pointed out, we saw the discussion of Waffle House and, you know, the bars and all these different things. You know, come show your proof of vaccination and get your Krispy Kreme because we care about your health, right? Get this very, very terribly bad for you Krispy Kreme every day for a year, but we care about your health. So get this dangerous injection. It's just silly. But also it's very disgusting how clearly the shameless effort to just to make it seem like it's all good. As I pointed out on my tweet, what about the guy that just died from the getting a blood clot? Does he get two donuts? Or how does that work, right? Now, this is the point. Show your COVID vaccination card. Get deals at local businesses, right? This is disgusting. And all this is about getting you normalized to showing this thing that you've never really had to carry before. They want you to want to carry it, right? This is how they manipulate you. They always pretend, they act like, no, we've always had vaccine record. No, we haven't. We've had generalized record keeping in a central location. This is talking about you carrying a vaccination card that proves that you have something so you can engage in certain locations. That's called a vaccine passport. And what they want you to do is be wanting to use it so you can go, oh, I want a deal. Oh, I want that vaccine. Or I want that donut. I want that beer. And then the next time you go to a business that says you have to use it to get in, you're okay with it because you're already doing it. This is what they hope anyway. They hope that all of you fall headlong into this illusion and just go, yay, donuts. And then vaccine cards. Why not? But it's already happening, though, as we told you. Remember that fake news? You guys are such crazy fake news conspiracy theorists. There's never going to be vaccine passports. Yes, there are. And there have been this whole time. And they are the ones that have lied to you from the beginning. The ones laughing at people who are conspiracy theorists are some of the least informed, unintelligent people I've ever met. Today, according to Andrew Cuomo, you know, that totally good person that cares about all of us, we launched Excelsior Pass, a free platform for businesses and individuals that can be used to easily access secure proof of a recent negative COVID test or vaccination. It's the first kind of tool to help New York fight COVID while reopening our economy safely. Vaccine passport. Not immunity, right? You don't get a passport if you have natural immunity from whatever we're talking about, right? That's not how this works. as we point out constantly, because it's a ridiculous thing that the mainstream media just seems too desperate not to show you. The reality is, as of January 26th, the NIH is telling you that you get lasting immunity from natural COVID-19. In fact, telling you very clearly, the immune system retains a memory of it, which is real immunity. It's not immunity if it goes away in 2 months. It's a temporary lapse. This is immunity they're talking about here, right? That's the point. So why would you need this? Just like I told you in Israel, they've stated explicitly, if you have natural immunity, it doesn't count. You need vaccine proof to be able to engage in Israeli society today. Does that make sense to anybody? So you need proof of a vaccine where you have to get every 2 months, or you can have lasting immunity from the natural one, but that doesn't count because it's a vaccine passport, because the agenda is the vaccine, not the immunity. Now, I also just think it's obscene that we're talking about somebody who's being from 30 different angles being accused of sexual abuse. And we know he absolutely took criminal actions, tried to cover up things they did in regard to nursing homes. But, you know, it's all good, right? Let's listen to him about our lives and what we're allowed and aren't allowed to do. New York launches nation's first vaccine passports. Others are working on similar ideas, but many details must be worked out. Yeah, sure, guys. Let's work out the details after they come out, because that's what we do, right? We jam this in because that's the agenda, and then we try to scramble to make sense of it all. Yeah, that's called freedom and democracy, right? Literally, vaccine passports in the headline. This is the insulting part to people that have been paying attention. As Dennis Rancourt points out, the conspiracy crazy of a few months ago is today's blatant reality. How is it that we can't see that as a collective? How is it the people that, because look, there are actually people that believe this is all conspiracy theory. I think most of those people are just don't want to recognize this for a multitude of reasons, but there are some that really believe it. And how is it that they can see this now and still think that we were crazy, right? Well, they were crazy, but this is now happening because we need them. So how can we be crazy if it's happening? Well, because you said it would happen because of this, and it's now happening because of that. It's like, okay, split hairs here, right? It's happening was the point. So they need to admit to themselves that they were wrong, that it is happening, and that this was the point. And the people that screamed that we were all crazy were the ones that knew it was going to happen. And that's why they did so. Just like with Iraq, just like with Syria, they're the ones that scream that you're the crazy liars are the ones that know they're murdering people over there. Guess what? They will go as far as we let them. They have no internal limits. Exactly. This is right on the front page of the Daily Mail, guys. Vaccine passport to go to the pub. But we're crazy though, right? We're crazy. Those things will never happen. Well, this is something that was just shared with me, and this is from the Jailhouse Lawyer Speak. Official Twitter account for the Jailhouse Lawyer Speak, imprisoned U.S. group of human rights advocates. Get this. In the event an inmate refuses the vaccine, this will occur in a prison, right? 1, no visitation. 2, no work or program activities. 3, no participation in any group activities. 4, may require living in a designated unit for separation purposes. 5, will not be considered for movement to any other facility. Just like everything else, it's usually the military, the health, the nurses, and in this case, the prisoners will be tested on without their consent. And that's what this is. It's social exclusion. And what this person says, this is how you eliminate a virus. People that are in prison should also be shunned from public life if they refuse. People actually believe this. And as this person points out rightly, this is actually how you eliminate freedom. There are several countries that didn't need a vaccine to squash the virus. They will still all have to vaccinate or they won't be able to interact with the outside world. What? Can you believe that this is a legitimate answer? So this person's going, hey, man, there's plenty of countries that didn't even need one, and they're now fine. And his answer is to go, but they will anyway, because we're doing it. So then they'll have to do it, so we're safe. He's applying the logic the government's giving to us in our country to the world. Literally, this guy believes that we're not safe in the country unless the rest of the world vaccinates. This guy has bought in. I'm embarrassed. How is it that we can think this stupidly? It's like that meme I showed the other day where someone's crying and it says, what's your problem, 911? And it's just like, oh, my vaccine won't work unless everybody else takes it too. If you believe that, then you're naive. I just can't even understand how that's possible. But that's the case. And this is horribly wrong. Now, understand again, this is a good place to bring up this document again. Understand that this, whether you're a prisoner or anything else, it doesn't matter. There's international law that protects your rights under bioethics and human rights, the Universal Declaration from UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. And it says, I've pointed out many points in this that are important, but as always, the main ones are under this one specifically, human dignity, human rights. The interests and welfare of you, the individual, have priority over the sole interest of science or society. International law. You cannot say, well, we need to do this for everyone else's safety. It doesn't work, even though they're doing it anyway. Under consent, the consent should, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. That's they're breaking the law. But that's not new for this government or this authority or this institution. It doesn't matter. They don't care. They're going to force this on who they want because that's what they do. Now here in Moscow. Now, what's funny is, of course, people will make this out to be that I'm somehow now, again, you know, it's funny how I dance from being like a Korean shill to being a Syrian shill to one day I'm a Russian shill. Oh, he's a Venezuelan shill. Oh, this time now he's shilling for Trump or for Biden. It's just, guys, it's, you know, question all of it, sure. But how about you have a little bit of evidence to make such claims? My point in saying that is I know by pointing this out and saying, look at Moscow, someone's going to argue that I'm saying they're better than us or whatever pea-brained argument they can make in this regard. But it just happened to be Moscow. It could have been Sweden. It could have been all sorts of other places that we've already shown. I just happened to see this tweet and it aligned with what we're talking about. And the fact is that in Moscow right now, no temperature checks, no temperature checks on entry, no track and trace, no vaccine passport, no ID, no scanning, no BS, he says. Here, so while we're dealing with all this stuff and they're telling us it's an absolute necessity or we're all going to die, plenty of places are doing nothing of the kind. Normal life, going to bars, walking around, you know, the occasional person with a mask, but seems like most not. Isn't that interesting? So ask yourself how this is even possible, right? How is it possible that we're in this part of the world, we're overrun with danger and everything's crazy, we're all going to die in a lot of other places? Not even close. I mean, doesn't their argument suggest that this isn't possible? That if we were to do this, that we would all die, that it would be overrun with COVID-19. But Moscow has it too, according to the narrative, right? They're cases and you can report on, you can look at it. So how is that possible? If they've got it circulating around and they're not doing these very important measures, shouldn't they all be spreading through with COVID-19 like they tell us it'll happen if we don't? Obviously, that's why they won't acknowledge this. That's why they won't even discuss why this is possible, or they act like it's somehow fake or just a localized, you know, and without any kind of evidence to back it up. In fact, I've shown you routinely, this is currently happening all over the world. Sweden has been the ongoing example. Look at that. Doesn't that make you furious that life is ongoing around the world? Going to brunch, going to dinner, going to lunch with your friends, going to the beach, going out to the bar, going bowling, living your life, guys, hanging out with your friends, seeing your grandparents, all these things that are just, you have to ask permission if you can even do it at all. Your government saying, yeah, go ahead and hug your parents today because it's a low COVID day, right? This is the world they're building, but this is the world as it should be anywhere we're talking about, not just Moscow. For all the mindless people out there, the world. This is how the world should be, where you're allowed to live your life based on how you think you should. Not today, though. Not in the United States. The land of the free, right? Well, in Brisbane, the very opposite of the land of the free, COVID-19 community transmission case puts city on alert after man visits multiple public venues. Oh no, this must be massive, right? If this must be a massive case, if they're willing to stop everything, put the public back on this alert and start doing lockdowns, it must be a massive transmission thing. Must be, right? One new case. Queensland has recorded one new case. A single case of locally transmitted coronavirus with a 26-year-old Brisbane man who's probably not even any close to risk of dying, or, you know, whether this is even actually a case or it's just a PCR false positive. One case It says aged care and disability care facilities based on this one case. Hospitals and prisons as well in Brisbane City Council and Moreton Bay areas are no longer allowed visitors, except for end-of-life visits. That's it. The restrictions were imposed at midday on Friday because of one case popping up and will be reviewed on Monday. Mrs. Palaszczuk, or that's Palaszczuk, crazy name, said people are crowded in crowded places in those council areas should also now wear masks. One case. You lock down nursing homes. You make them wear masks. You impose restrictions. It says the incident was a reminder to social distance, avoid handshakes, and check in at venues. A single case. And they're saying, remember, go on, continue not touching anybody. Continue not shaking hands or hugging anybody or continue avoiding everybody as much as you can. He was confirmed to have COVID-19 on Thursday night. And what does that mean? A PCR test. That's what confirmed means now. Remember at the beginning of all this when I pointed out that they were saying confirmed when all it meant was a couple of factors combined, like having symptoms and so on, or a PCR test? Well, remember they aggressively pretended that wasn't true and said, no, well, yeah, now it's constant. We can see confirmed and all they need is a PCR test. Just like every other thing, it later gets proven that we were right from the very beginning. Not in every single case, but in regard to COVID-19 lately, it seems to be. One case. So they go on, they're going forward in a way they think they're getting away from all of this, and a single case is reported and everything reverts back to where it was. This is setting the tone. And if you allow this, this is your future. Look, they don't even need a case. They need to claim there's a case. And suddenly you're back on lockdown. And then they need to contact trace that case and lock down everyone they think he talked to. And then suddenly more things pop up because they start testing again and more false positives pop up and so on. And there you go. We're right back in it. Of course, that's completely up to their control. If you believe it's okay to shut down an entire country, an entire location, and their all their lives and their life and everything they care about for one case of something that is not even putting them at risk, I don't know what to tell you. I don't even know how you're even here watching the show at this moment. Hopefully you'll learn something. But to finish this up, there's a discussion that's been circulating about Bill Gates, vaccines, and mosquitoes. Now, this is not something to scoff at. There's a lot around this that makes me very, very alarmed. But I wanted to go through this and just kind of overview the information and let you think about it for yourself. Because in all fairness, I have seen a lot of people cover this in ways and just basically stating, you know, that Bill Gates is making vaccines of mosquitoes and selling it, you know, and, you know, that's not a fair statement. Do I believe that it's possible that they're doing that? Absolutely. But to say outright that they're doing that now, I haven't seen that proven. But let me show you why I say that. So starting with this. This is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And this is they basically started this effort to fund all these projects that were pretty much unverified, unproven, that people had never done before. And what I find very telling is what this was looking for. Now, what this ultimately leads to is specifically the making mosquitoes into vaccine syringes, which is totally real, by the way. Whether or not it's happening is the question. Now, what's funny is that when they do these debunking things, of course, they always make it out to seem like this is just not even real. Of course it's real. That's always how this usually works. Pretty much how this usually works out. It's right there, and I'll get to it in a second. But why would they be so aggressively doing that now? I just find that to be interesting. But hold on, let's get into this. The global health community also needs new ways to protect against infectious diseases that do not resemble traditional vaccines. So Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in 2008 is going out of their way to find new ways to vaccinate. Like to just what I want you to think about as it goes forward is think about how this seems to very clearly connect with the agenda of the mRNA vaccine push and the Great Reset and where they're going with all that. Right? So think about that tie as we go through all of this. In 2008, they're asking the global community for new ways to protect against infectious diseases that do not resemble traditional vaccines. It says vaccines and other prevention measures currently are dependent upon the limitations of the human immune system. Okay, so your body is the limitation, right? Of course it is. Your immune system that's protected everyone for thousands and thousands of years is the problem. We want to be able to work around your body and make it our work for us. Right. So it's saying that depends on the limitations of your body. So they're thinking technological advancement, nanotechnology, the things that can circumvent that. So just recognize the idea of the whole convergence discussion, converging nanotechnology, biology, and information technology and cognitive science, and then going forward with the, what was it, K CKTS, what was that? Convergence Knowledge Technology of Society, right? These are the different grouping papers we've talked about where they're saying in 20 years, we're going to alter evolution with nanotechnology. And then following all the way up to 2017 and saying that we're going to do all sorts of alarming things that perfectly align with the mRNA platform that they were working on and is now being used everywhere. Interesting. Now it says what we're looking for, unconventional approaches to effectively harness the immune response or create synthetic immune response to protect against infection and disease will be considered. Genetic approaches are of the highest interest. Okay, remember, this amounted to an agenda to make transgenic mosquitoes that can give you vaccines, right? But what does that sound like to you? Does that sound like mosquitoes and vaccines? Or does it sound like he's literally describing what they're doing with these vaccines right now? Unconventional approaches to effectively harness the immune response or create synthetic immune response to protect against infection and disease will be considered. Genetic approaches are of the highest interest. Right? Okay, so this seems like we're literally going to transition into how this became the mRNA discussion, but it's not. This is what later became the vaccine and mosquito discussion. So I just think that's really interesting. Now, a few of the many options to be considered include, there's a bunch of them, a list of the ones that stood out to me, alternative approaches to effective presentation of antigens and other key stimulating factors, new computational or laboratory-based systems for rapidly testing vaccines and predicting their efficacy, approaches to the generation of immunity at population level. Well, that's alarming, right? What they're talking about is mass vaccination on a population level, which is ultimately what leads to the idea of using mosquitoes to vaccinate everything. So realize that that's something that they are absolutely looking for. They are interested specifically in something that can vaccinate the population at large. So the idea of something like the vaccine from a mosquito to do something like this is not something we should laugh about. That's literally what they were looking for. Now, is it happening? That's the question. We will not consider funding for current methods for vaccine discovery, development, or delivery, right? So we don't care if you make this amazingly successful vaccine in the current method that's better than anything we ever used. We don't care. We only want some new experimental thing that's not tested and that we can use to our benefit, right? That's just, of course, this is what the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is driving for. So this going forward, this is 2008 in October. So, right? So this is May. Jump forward to October. 2008, production of transgenic mosquito as a flying syringe. This is on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation website to deliver protective vaccine via saliva. So right out of the gate, let's make sure we understand that despite all the debunks and all these things, they're debunking the idea that this is currently happening, but then casually letting you assume that the whole thing is fake, as they tend to do, because they're not out to inform you. They never really are. So let's be clear, there's technology that has been worked on and developed for a decade or decades to turn transgenic mosquitoes into flying syringes that have the ability to mass vaccinate at a population level. Now, this is a discussion from the Washington Post, from their Washington Post Foreign Service, flying syringes and other bold ideas. Now, this is a report in October 2008 of the same discussion, but I just want to add a couple points. The foundation has rejected the widespread practice of peer review, right? Because who cares? Why would we want to check this with other experts, right? We're just going to tell you these things work and then use them to our benefit. Why would we want to check it with other experts to make sure that it's viable, right? Realize how alarming that is. Now, the argument they make, you can almost say makes sense, but the point is, if you're not having this reviewed by other experts, you could argue that you have never even proven that it's viable or that it's safe and that that's something that you could hide yourself. Nobel laureate Andrew Fire is going to look at whether turning off single genes by a technique called RNA interference can be used to fight viral infections. Now, remember, this is the stuff that segues into the mosquito discussion. Now, obviously, you could argue that this research led to the mRNA discussion, but Rick, ask yourself how the mosquito part of this just disappeared into the discussion. And all of a sudden we transition into GM mosquitoes to kill mosquitoes. Now it says in this first phase of the Gates Foundation project, applicants for the Grand Challenges Explorations grants were asked to concentrate on some of the biggest killers in the developing world: HIV, AIDS, malaria, tuberculosis, and other infections. And they mentioned pneumonia and plenty of others. In applications, the foundation asks only for the outline of a hypothesis and a way of testing it. It does not require applicants to even prove data to support their theory. Okay, quite interesting to me, but going forward. 2010, researchers turned mosquitoes into flying vaccinators, right? So this is going forward 2 years later, just so we're clear that it is happening. This wasn't some pie-in-the-sky idea that later went away. This is real. A group of Japanese researchers has developed a mosquito that spreads vaccine instead of disease. Even the researchers admit, however, that regulatory and ethical problems will prevent the critters from ever taking wing, at least for the delivery of human vaccines. So there's two very alarming things to me right there. One, when our government historically has tested on us, they didn't let us know it was happening. So the idea of something like Operation Sea Spray or plenty of other of the 239 times they've admitted to testing on people unwittingly, you should ask yourself whether they would be doing it now. Is it possible that they could use this without telling you they're using it? Of course it's possible. Do we know that? No, we don't. But then also, this kind of sidestep to, well, at least of human vaccines. Okay, well, we'll let it out. Well, this gets into it at the end, but the idea that this could be used for animal vaccines is still, doesn't that seem equally alarming? I mean, aren't these mosquitoes out there feeding on humans and animals alike? So it says this new study relies on a very different mechanism. Use mosquitoes to become what the scientists call flying vaccinators. The Japanese group decided to add an antigen A compound that triggers an immune response to the mix of proteins in the insect's saliva. Now, just think about the unintended consequences this could have caused, you know, such as something like, I don't know, a Zika outbreak. But to say that is just to throw something out there. Definitely something I've considered, and I'm going to show you my articles next. But remember, the Zika thing was also made something international, even though it wasn't really, and it was never really defined and verified. There's still a lot of questions around what really caused what happened there. So the point is, this is how these things tend to go. And whether we're talking mRNA vaccines or something like this, we do not know the long-term side effects. 20, 30 years from now, what this kind of genetic manipulation will do. Look at what happened to India and the food supply. We just played the discussion where Bill Gates and this effort claimed to use GMO foods and all these different seeds to help their food supply. What do? They destroyed their food supply. Right? They created bollworms that were resistant to these things, and they created all these problems for them that were never there before. And the moment they went back to doing it themselves, of course, then they flourished again. So the same idea. What did that stuff cause? What are the long-term effects? Will it later make things that are resistant to these things that are even more alarming and damaging to humans, right? Like our overuse of antibiotics that create antibiotic-resistant viruses or other illnesses that are very dangerous, right? We are creating these problems, even in the sense of doing so without understanding long-term effects. I also believe that these things are being created in some very sinister, nefarious ways. The group has also made mosquitoes produce a candidate malaria vaccine. So just realize it's absolutely current. In 2010, they had mosquitoes that could deliver vaccines. David Obrachta, an insect molecular geneticist at the University of Maryland College Park, calls it a fascinating proof of concept. It says people exposed to the transgenic mosquitoes would get vastly different doses of the vaccine. It would be a bit like giving some people one measles jab and others 500 of them. No regulatory agency would sign off on that, says molecular biologist Robert Seiden of Imperial College London. Isn't that interesting? Releasing the mosquitoes would also mean vaccinating people without their informed consent. Uh-oh, because we know they're just totally averse to that, right? Maybe back then. In any case, recognize this is a real thing. So could it be used? When he's talking about informed consent, that's an ethical no-no, except in the COVID-19 world, right? They sure as hell don't. This is the one I just showed you. I'm just making the point again, right? This is the science telling you that they didn't actually abide by that. The specific and significant risk of antibody-dependent enhancement should have been prominently independent disclosed. It wasn't, right? So yeah, it's an ethical no-no, but we don't care about it though. That's the takeaway. So this is, I wanted to include a bunch of these articles that I've written, that others have written. This is Melissa Dykes from 2016. Zika PSYOP to justify releasing millions of Bill Gates GM mosquitoes in Florida. So jump forward to 2016. Right. So here we are in 2010, where they have a proof. They have, as even the guy calls it, an interesting proof of concept. Okay. So in 2016, suddenly it shifts to something totally different. So 6 years later, they're no longer making, as they tell us, vaccine laden mosquitoes that can deliver vaccines, but they're suddenly making vaccines that, when breed, end up killing the rest of them, which ultimately turned out to not actually be what happened. Right? Remember that. In this specific case, they let these out and the mosquitoes didn't kill each other. It got worse. Right? So did they ever really plan to get rid of the mosquitoes, or was something else? But this is a great article just pointing out the reality of, really more a video, but pointing out the reality of the Zika discussion, and very much a lot, and I agree, considered it a PSYOP, used to release more of these genetically modified mosquitoes in Florida. Oops, I forgot that I was going, hold on, let me get, this is a, so I don't forget to include the actual link. This is one that I wrote. This is actually a really long, in-depth one about, as I put it, the Zika virus and mosquitoes, origin versus outcome, right? This goes through where Zika came from, or at least to what we're told from a Rockefeller Foundation Institute, and, you know, the whole test they did and the weird story. But the reality behind this whole story, which that shows you that there's much more happening here than we're being told. 2016, 2017, an article I just wanted to include that I've shared more than once. Freedom of Information Act documents reveal U.S. military developing, not a possible, not a maybe, but absolutely developing or trying to develop genetic extinction technology, which applies to genetic foods, applies to insects, applies to real world actions with vaccines or anything else. Right? We've talked about the concept of the insect allies that DARPA and these groups were doing, that scientists spoke out around the world and said, that's a bioweapon activity. But no, they said, no, it's about protecting them. Well, no, it could go either way. So they were making insects that could be used as bioweapons. Specifically, genetic extinction technologies can stop certain things, right? Like, and this is the alarming part about this, is this could be used for eugenics, right? So the going forward, we're talking, watch the evolution of this. And see how this can be applied to where we are currently. 2017, genetically engineered mosquitoes are being released in 20 states. So what's happening? Right? What was the end result? Did that save us from mosquitoes, or did it just stay the same? Okay, so what was really happening? 2018, at Florida activist who fought release of GM mosquitoes in Florida found dead in hotel pool. That was Derek Brose that wrote that one. Now, Derek's written a lot about this as well. Maybe I'll get him to follow up on this if he's interested, because this is a topic that I find very, very telling. But bringing this forward to 2020, to make sure you understand that this is still ongoing, Florida says this is fine to release of genetically modified mosquitoes. So for a decade, this has been ongoing. So are we still pretending like we're getting rid of mosquitoes, or is there something much more alarming going on here? What are they trying to do? Are we being tested on? Does this have something to do with something that they approved of and accomplished 21 years ago? Or I'm sorry, 11 years ago. I mean, why is this no longer around? Is this even being discussed? But bringing this to today, literally, this is actually from November 17, 2020, but it says Bill Gates' controversial genetically engineered mosquitoes comes true. So it's happening. But I want you to point out here that the plan to release these mosquitoes is by 2021. I just find all these timelines correlating to right now to be impossible to ignore. Of all these different plans of nanotechnology and Agenda 2030 and all these different agendas, or the Great Reset, or all these different things coming together at the exact same moment. That's not by accident, guys. Plan to release mosquitoes, genetically modified mosquitoes, by 2021 in the Florida Keys comes months after the modified mosquito was approved by federal regulators. So this is happening in regard to GM mosquitoes, right? So is it possible that these are the mosquitoes that have a potential to deliver vaccines? Of course it's possible, because it's very real and it's very possible. And we saw them, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation invested in this over the process of 20 years, or technically, I guess it would be 15 or so, if I'm, you know, I forget the first date, but I'm not going to go back. So why? Why would they intentionally look for something that was so far outside the box, and specifically something that applied to what they're currently doing in regard to something that doesn't include mosquitoes? At the end of the day, the point is there's obviously something fishy going on. That's my opinion. But I'm not going to say I know for a fact that Bill Gates is making mosquitoes with vaccines and he's delivering to us now, because I can't prove that. But the point is, this is a valid question. And all we're going to see is people being, is this being dismissed by mainstream media because of, one, people that are making hyperbolic claims about it, and two, because they don't want to even consider the real possibilities. Not they being the mainstream media and the people that are just debunking this stuff without even looking into the full information. Now, this is from August 21st, 2020, from the scientist. 750 million genetically modified mosquitoes will be released in the Florida Keys, right? So this brings us all the way into August 2020. So it's happening now is the point. And I would be very concerned about that if I were you. Now, I'll leave you with this video from Spiro, not playing it, but just check it out for yourself. A great video. He did all the way back in June 7th. Gates and military funded mosquito vaccine delivery. Gates backed company to release GM mosquitoes, right? Spiro doing a great job doing the same thing that I did, not making the claim, but just letting you connect the dots for yourself on what's simply possible. Groups that are currently testing on you, governments that have constantly tested on you. The question of whether or not they would try something like this, especially when they've convinced everybody that that exact thing is for your best interest, I don't know why that's beyond possibility. And of course, to leave you with something to maybe make you chuckle, thank you for pointing this out, Mitchell. As the guy for the podcast, the guy's reading a book that says Germany, 1933 to 1945. And of course, it shows the Nazi symbol. And he's wearing a shield and a face mask and all the gloves. He's all COVID secured up, right? How could people allow it to get to that point, thinking about the Germans, right? This guy, the point is, people like this have no idea that they are the ones allowing this to currently happen. Oh, of course, it also shows you his vax ID, right? That's exactly the point. It's just, they're looking at this like, you know, that this is what's happening. I'm not trying to say it's exactly the same thing. What I'm saying is we are at a moment where there is a power structure that is abusing our emotions, our fear, to drive in an authoritarian control network, a state, a technocratic state, that is going to be, I mean, this is the dystopian movie that we're living in right now. And these people can only look back and go, I can't believe they let that happen. You're letting it happen right now. You are literally living the thing you can't believe right now. And as James Corbett and I discussed, right now is the time to act. 30 years from now, looking back and thinking, man, we had all kinds of opportunities to sit up, to stand up, to speak out, to do something and stop this from happening. And we didn't. And now we're here, right? 30 years from now, that's a possibility where we look back and go, man, I wish I would have taken more action when I had the chance. So think about that now and do it now. Stand up for yourself. Do not accept this. I will not conform. I will not consent. We are not allowing this to happen because it's your right to say no. So if you want to be this guy, looking back, we're going to go, man, I wish I could have done something. How did we let it get to this point? Then just do nothing. Sit back and allow the government to create your life independent of what you actually care about. Or you can recognize that it's always been your choice. And if we actually cross party lines and actually come together and realize that the government has always been the factor, has always been the boot on our neck, not a blue boot, not a red boot, but the government boot. And we can realize that we can actually make something happen. I just plead with people to see that and stop seeing that as some kind of a manipulation in of itself. The manipulation is the two-party system. The manipulation is the COVID event. It's time to wake up, guys. Thank you all for being here and continuing to share this information. I truly love you all, and I thank you for being here continually. Like, it's inspiring to watch how many people have continued to jump from channel to channel, from platform to platform, and continue to send PayPal donations and tweet and PO box delivery. I mean, I just can never fully express how much that inspires me. What I love about it is how much it's just the mainstream media just is so confused by that. They don't understand why you are willing to pay for something where you get nothing in return. It's because they're profiteering physical, worldly minded people that only care about wealth and ambition and blah, blah, blah. You understand that there's much more to life than that, and that we're fighting for those things right now. Thank you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about trouble and irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.